FM News Talk 97.1. On demand audio.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
I just want to say to the men of this country, just shut up and step up.
Our very own stable genius, Mark Cox, thanks for coming on today. Did you get your mom from the airport yet?
I did. We're in the car on the way home.
That's thanks, good. Annie. It was sounding a little sketchy there this morning on the show as to whether or not she would be able to get here safely. We're glad that she's home.
Well, thank you. Yes, she's here in one piece. That's
good.
Great.
Fantastic. So what do you think about that? Judge Napolitano saying that there's ample evidence that Donald Trump is an unindicted co-conspirator here.
Well, you know what? I have a lot of respect for Napolitano. I've had him on my show a number of times. He has... I'm not sure that he's ever been a huge Donald Trump fan. I'm a little surprised to hear what he's talking about here. I mean, I discussed this on my show a little bit this morning. I find myself in a weird situation here because I almost feel like it's deja vu all over again. I watched what happened to Eric Greitens in the state of Missouri. He came in as an outsider. Nobody expected him to get elected. Nobody liked him very much. He didn't seem to get along with anybody because he had some ideas that a lot of folks didn't like very much. And the next thing you know, there are allegations of swirling around him, none of which would have been enough to get him booted out of office in and of itself. And suddenly they got what they wanted because they pressured him to resign.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel like there's a lot of that going on with Donald Trump. The suggestion that he's an unindicted co-conspirator, I mean, I guess we won't know till Bob Mueller finishes his investigation. But it strikes me that they unless they're going to try something cheap like perjury, and I call it cheap because I think it's easy to trap somebody into a word game when you declare perjury like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still looking for something that would rise to the level of a high crime or a misdemeanor that justifies removing a sitting president from office. And it better be something other than a campaign finance violation, of which, the Obama campaign and many others have been found in violation of and paid fines if they're going to try to remove Donald Trump from the presidency.
You know, I've been looking at a lot of this, the information. No, people aren't really talking about this right now in the news because the other headlines are so big. But there's a lot of information coming out of an investigation into the Russian propaganda campaign that took place on social media all over the place, certainly in 2016, again in 2018. And the thing that I find to be very interesting about this is that Hillary Clinton, if she would have come out of this election as the winner in 2016... this information would all still be here. This would all still, they still would have done, Russia still would have done what they did. Russia has said that the purpose of what our investigators have said, the purpose of what Russia is trying to do is make us question our system, is make us this democracy republic that we have, that we value so much, and they probably feel we lord over the rest of the world because the people here in the United States of America are so valuable to that thing, that American way that we have. The Russian effort here is to instill doubt, and they certainly have instilled doubt. They've done it on both sides of the aisle, and that is kind of the foundation for which all of this stems from, is the original in 2016, was that an election that was correct? Was that an election that was honest and true? And there have been people who were so in the tank for the other side when it didn't happen that way, it just had to not be true. And so we've gone in so many different directions trying to get to that end where Donald Trump can't be. He either A, rightfully isn't the president in the first place, or B, needs to be removed because he's quote unquote dangerous. My question to you is, what comes next for the American people, whether Trump stays or goes?
Yeah, it's a good question. What's the reaction of the 50% roughly that support the president if they end up being successful with something here? I don't know the answer to that. I wish I did. I worry a little bit about that. You know, I see what's going on in France, and I made this point the other day. There are protests in the streets of France. Why are they protesting? Well, they were originally protesting because of austerity measures by Macron, who has realized that that socialism leads you to a point where you don't bring in enough money to pay the bills anymore. He seemed to realize that. He seemed to be young and smart enough that they were going to have to cut something in order to make. So people were protesting the idea of austerity. And then he tried to implement UN climate change recommendations to squeeze people out of using carbon fuels, and they took to the streets and started burning cars. So the very thing, higher taxes, which got them the European democratic socialist state they have now, finally drove those same people into the streets when it hit them in the pocketbook. I wonder if anything like that ever happens in the United States. I don't think it will be the young Bernie Sanders progressives living in mom and dad's basement who are the ones in the street protesting.
Yeah.
And that's an uncomfortable conversation that a lot of people don't like to talk about.
I mean, when you think about the way this is, the direction this is moving, we used to have Republicans and Democrats. We don't have that anymore because the division that exists between people in the United States of America now is so stark, so separatist that the next person, like what kind of Republican comes next? Whether Donald Trump serves six more years in the presidency or he gets kicked out in January because the Democrats take over the House and, you know, lightning speed this thing through. What happens to the Republican Party after Trump? Because Trump is fighting the battle that no Republican previously would be willing to stand up against, which is the media and the punditry of people who have really defamed Republicans and conservatives for so long, labeling them racists, bigots, sexist, misogynists. I mean, these are all things that as a conservative, if you admit that you're a conservative, these are assumptions of things that people just have of you. By virtue of being conservative, you're this type of terrible person. And Donald Trump has really pushed back on that narrative. You know, I question how the next person who takes the mantle for the conservative movement will be able to do that.
Amy, it's a beautiful point. I don't know who it is. And here's the thing about it. I backed Ted Cruz in the primary against Donald Trump because I felt that he was the most conservative, true conservative option in that race. Well, it ends up that Donald Trump got elected, and I think because of his outsider status, has done more things, has accomplished more things than Ted Cruz ever could have. I believe that. And yet Ted Cruz couldn't get enough support to win that primary. And the reason that's such a pertinent question right now is you've got challenges from John Kasich potentially in 2020, Jeff Snowflake in 2020. The extreme moderate, almost middle of the road, left of center Republicans who were challenging Trump. There are no conservatives talking about challenging Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And if he loses in 2020, I don't know when you see a coalition like that again. I'm concerned about it, quite frankly.
Yeah, I definitely am too. And the amount of investigations that we've been watching unfold in these 2 years, I kind of get the feeling that we haven't seen anything yet. When the Democrats take over the House and we lose the opportunity to have the folks like Nunes and Jordan and all those folks who are investigating the investigators and have uncovered some very unfortunate truths there as well, there's a position here for the American people to look around and say, I don't know who I trust.
Well, here's a question for you about this government shutdown that we're looking at potentially. Well, the Republicans, for the next week or two, still control the House. Why don't they vote on a budget that includes the funding for the wall, send it to the Senate, let them debate it, take a vote, have McConnell order a vote, and when they realize that they can't pass it because not a single Democrat will vote for it, then you have the answers to who's about to shut down the government.
Mm-hmm.
If they let things stand the way they are, they're going to hang it around President Trump's neck. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the only answer I can come up with is that you've got too many John Kasich, you know, Jeff Snowflake types in the House to call for a vote. I don't think Paul Ryan will do it.
Yeah, I think that the one thing that Donald Trump, I wish he would have done this a long time ago, specifically before the election, is make these Republicans that are in the House and in the Senate, make them be on record as to whether or not they're there to support this president and his agenda or not. And if they're not there to support it, give the American people the opportunity to do something about it. Now they're up against a wall. The Democrats are about to take over. To me, it's a missing of the mark. I was happy to see Donald Trump take that stand and own the responsibility for something so that the work, the job could be done, the conversation could be had instead of the political bickering over who owns a shutdown. But, you know, I get sick and tired of thinking about how the Republicans have had majorities and haven't been able to do some of these very big things that they've been campaigning on for almost a decade.
Yeah. Well, now the Democrats are poised to take over the House, and we're getting rid of Paul Ryan, but we're handing the House minority job over to Paul Ryan Light in McCarthy from California.
Mm-hmm.
That's just... It's maddening.
Yeah,
it should have been Jim Jordan who was the House Speaker, or at least the minority leader voted in, and that didn't happen. So I think we're in for a rough 2 years.
Well, we are going to have to watch it very closely here on FM News Talk 97.1. We know you're always doing it from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. weekdays on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Thanks so much for coming on, and tell your mom we're happy she's here safe. We appreciate
I'll do it, Annie.
We appreciate the safe travel. We'll talk to you soon. Yeah.